Happy Wednesday, everybody. Thank you so much, as always, for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. So glad you're here for another listener question show, as we do each and every Wednesday. Listener Kate has a question about the FastPass roller coaster. She has a daughter who thinks she loves roller coasters, but sometimes she gets to the front of the line and may chicken out. She wants us to rank the Walt Disney World roller coasters in terms of scariness. So we're going to give that a shot today, plus many more questions. Don't forget, today's show brought to you by our friends over at virtualmickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Days to Go, WDW. Days to Go lets you count down the days until your next Walt Disney World vacation with style. Right now, as I look down at my iPhone XS Max, I can see that we're down to 70 days to go till Marathon Weekend 2020. That's 70 days till we're running 48.6 magical miles with so many friends. I cannot wait, and I get excited every time I look down at my phone. Right now, I'm looking at this scary witch at the end of the Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. I just saw Gaston in front of the tavern. I see how many days I have to go. Anytime I interact with my phone, you can do the same. Get you pumped for your next trip each and every time you touch that phone. It's probably 50 times a day. Check them out today. Other great apps to turn your Apple device into a Disney device right now over at virtualmickey.com. Also, don't forget, there's still time to get your Halloween candy. If you haven't done that, go to Amazon. You use our Amazon affiliate link, brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. You get all your Prime benefits, costs you nothing extra. And that candy will taste extra sweet because you know you're supporting the podcast with each and every bite. And you're handing out to those ghosts and goblins tomorrow. So check them out and use our Amazon affiliate link all the time. BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon. Boom!
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1557 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman, from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Wednesday to you and happy Halloween Eve. That's right, tomorrow is the big day and night for all the ghosts and goblins. Go around your neighborhood. So again, remind everybody, drive slow on your way home from work tomorrow and watch out for everybody having a good time trick or treating. And everybody have a good time out there. It's going to be cold here in the Midwest. Chance of snow with rain. And so just a misery index of like 12, as it's been ever since Mizzou went on the road and dropped two football games. We won't talk about that. We're going to answer your listener questions today. Joining me today from a DisneyWorldAfterAll.com, TouringPlans.com, and The Mouse for Less, we have Ricky. Ricky, what's going on? Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween. I will say it's supposed to be miserable here as well. So for Halloween, it's supposed to be raining and... So I have like a buttload of candy that I'm going to be like, well, yes. What am I supposed to do with all this? Because I legit, like Brian went and bought just a ton of candy. And I said, we didn't get that many trick-or-treaters last year. So what are you expecting me to do with all this? So now we're not even going to get hardly any.
But, it's gonna rain. But this is why you buy the candy that you like. So that when it's left over, you have it till Thanksgiving.
I like, trust me, that's going to be the problem. It's Hershey's and Reese's and yeah. Definitely candy I like.
The studio trash can, a bunch of M&M fun size.
Got it. Yes.
Candy wrappers already here. So we may have some left by tomorrow. We may not. We might have to go to the store again.
Just got it.
All right. Also joining us, we have the co-owner of the Magic for Less Travel, Pam Forrester. Pam, what's going on? We haven't seen you in a while.
I know. It's been crazy. So we usually get like hundreds of trick-or-treaters here.
Really?
Literally. Yeah, literally we do. And we are not going to be here this year.
Oh, well, that works.
I know. And our lights, the front lights, which is the universal sign, I guess, for
yes.
Yep.
Letting kids know that they can come to your house. Well, they're on dawn to dusk.
Oh, no.
So there are going to be children coming to our door and being
not getting anything. Yeah.
I don't even know what to say about that. But anyways, that's how it's going to go. And what's weird is we have sort of a unique entryway. So like we have a bunch of kids who know the house and like to come into it. It's such an odd occurrence. Like you wouldn't think little children would do that, but they're like, oh, cause I guess it's called the Snow White House. I don't, the whole thing is just crazy to me, but anyways, so Yeah, I'm disappointing children, I guess is what I'm trying to say, and I want to feel better about
it. All right, well, fun for disappointing children.
Mm-hmm. You know what I really want for Halloween is a Ring video doorbell, so I could totally mess with kids on a new level. You know, like, because they have a commercial out there right now where it has the old trick, like with the skeleton guy, you just sitting there with a big, you know, vat of candy, and it says only take one. And of course, you know, some kid goes up there and he's like eyeballing the skeleton,
right?
And he's like looking at it trying to decide, am I going to take a handful? And he does, and the guy gets on the Ring video doorbell like, put it back, kid, scares him out, the eyes start glowing. Yeah, that'd be me. That'd be so fun. So I may have to get one. We'll see.
Well, and the thing is, I guess what I will say to the children who are coming, if any of them are seeing this, is at least I'm not passing out raisins.
That's true. Rocks. No raisins from the foresters.
That's horrible. I hate it when people do that. If you're a raisin passer outer, no.
Or pennies.
Yeah, pennies would stink.
Don't pass out pennies.
I'd rather have pennies than raisins.
I actually saw someone posted the best idea on Facebook, and I want to steal it next year. I would have totally taken it this year, but Brian had already bought the bajillion bags of candy. So they are actually giving out they bought boxes of Little Debbie treats, and they're just like the Halloween themed ones, and they're just going to give them like Halloween themed treats from Little Debbie, like one, you know, not the box, but you know, like one packet.
Right.
And
yeah.
I was like, oh my gosh, so genius, and it's a lot cheaper than Halloween candy. Like, I don't get that many kids here, so that is really smart. I should have seen that before Brian bought all the candy, because I would have totally done that.
All right, now I'm starving for some candy, but guess what? We're going to go old school here before we take our first question of the day. We got some great ones lined up, some in the chat here on Facebook as well. But we're going to go back old school and go to our Karnak. Remember the old Karnak thing we used to do that Johnny Carson used to do before his shows? I was bored the other day for 5 minutes and went back into the old folder, something we didn't get to. So here we go. I have an envelope, which is on my forehead right now.
Explain to everybody who's new, because trust me, it's been a long time.
People have to know how the amazing Karnak works. So you would get the answer in an envelope, okay? So and then the amazing Karnak would put it up to his head and he would tell you like what it was. So the answer is seagulls, squirrels, and sparrows.
Things that you have to, what do you have to protect your food from at Walt Disney World?
Name the members of the Boardwalk Bakery frequent diners club.
Yes, very good.
I love that one.
I think I was in that realm.
Yeah, you were. Yeah. You were close. And that was from Chad Werwick, one of our BOGP lizards from back on April 9th of 2014. That's how long that is, but sitting there. So thank you, Chad. And if you have one, just send it to mike@brguestpodcast.com. We'll start doing these every once in a while. I love it. Anyway, first question of the day, that was pretty funny, is from, now I got to find the question because I went into Karnak and was reading that again. It's from Kate. She says, the Fast Pass roller coaster. Hey, BOGP crew, I need your help. I'm trying to create a touring plan and figure out Fast Passes. My 8-year-old daughter loves roller coasters, but every once in a while, she gets up to the front of the line and chickens out. I want to book Fast Passes for roller coasters, but I don't want to waste the opportunity to get a different hard-to-get Fast Pass at 60 days if she won't ride the scarier roller coasters. The trip is a Christmas present, so I hope she's not listening. So I can't ask her which one she wants to do. Can you please rank the Walt Disney World roller coasters in order of least scary to most scary? She's over 48 inches, so there's no height restrictions. I have a 5-year-old who doesn't love roller coasters as much, but I'm hoping to get him on a few of the less intense ones. As always, thanks for your help, Kate. All right, Ricky, so we'll just take your, we're not going to all three do this, but we'll just let you kind of lay it down. So go least to most intense.
Well, I mean, obviously least intense is going to be Barnstormer.
Heck yeah. It's more intense for me because it's like hard to sit in there, but otherwise.
Well, yeah, exactly. Okay, so I think then we go 7 Dwarfs. Then Big Thunder. Then I think we do Space Mountain, because Space Mountain's pretty, you know, intense in the dark. Then I think you go to Everest. Then I think I would say Rock and Roller Coaster. Oh, wait, I forgot about the new one, Slinky Dog. Slinky Dog, where would you put Slinky Dog?
I would say she'd be fine with that one.
Yeah, I mean, I think she's going to be fine. I'm just curious of where we would put it in, like, the grand. I would say after Space Mountain and before Everest Yeah.
I agree with that. Pam, you think the same? I mean, I think the five-year-old, too, would ride... I think the five-year-old would even ride Slinky Dog because it's approachable. It looks fun.
True.
Even though it is kind of intense. It's not super intense,
but... You think Slinky Dog is more intense than Space Mountain?
No.
Well...
No. Absolutely not.
I think...
No.
No. I think it's more intense than Seven Dwarves.
Yes.
Yes.
But it's not as intense as Space Mountain.
What do you think about Big Thunder?
I think Big Thunder is after Slinky Dog. I think it's a little scarier for kids just because it has a lot of noise.
True.
So like Slinky Dog, they intentionally kept quiet. When you're going up the hill, you don't hear the clickety clackety. And I think that that's something that is more scary to people because they hear it. It's just so smooth.
Yep.
All right. So you say then, okay. I think that would work.
That's what I think.
Yeah, I think so too.
Everyone has a different, you know.
Barnstormer, Seven Dwarves, Slinky Dog, Big Thunder, Space, then Everest, then Rock and Roller Coaster.
Absolutely. I agree.
Yeah. Okay. Agreed. All right, Siri just didn't understand me.
Siri's like, let me tell you about roller coasters. The first roller coaster was in 1893.
I know. I'm like, I did not talk to you. That's why you didn't understand.
Stand down, Siri. Stand down. All right, and I probably just launched everything in my office here. Melissa's got the next question in our live chat. We usually record live on Mondays around 5:45 Eastern, so drop on in next Monday. She says, hubby and I are going for our 15th anniversary, September of 2020, staying at Pop for 4 nights, and we have 2 complimentary nights to use at a moderate resort, not the Tower, torn on Port Orleans French Quarter and Coronado Springs. Leaning towards Coronado Springs, but a carriage ride, beignets, and boat access to Disney Springs sounds tempting too. Thoughts? I think this is a good one for Pam, because I know you're a huge fan of Coronado, but she's making a good point. The carriage ride and especially the beignets and heading down to Disney Springs. What do you think?
That's a rough one, but I feel like Coronado has so many things to offer in terms of being a great experience right now. If you want to go a little more upscale, you can do Grand Destino Tower. You could do a standard room, or they even have club service available there. But if they're complimentary, they probably won't include that. But even the standard rooms at Coronado are so great. And you have, you know, you can use all the amenities that are available there at Coronado, including the pool, all the different restaurants now. You have Toledo up at the top of the Grand Destino Tower that you'll be able to go to. You'll have Maya Grill, Cafe Rick's, Rick's Sports Bar Club and Zoo, whatever they're calling it today.
Good chips and guac. It's good.
Yes. The Three Bridges, though, you'll be able to have that as well. So I think there's just so many pluses for that. I understand your reasoning on that. I really, really do. But if you have not stayed at Coronado, I might give that one a try. The rooms just feel more expensive.
They do. They're very deluxe feeling over Coronado. Here's what I would say. If you don't plan to go to Disney Springs, Coronado wins for sure. But if you plan to go maybe for the 2 nights you're staying at the moderate, if you're going to go both nights to Disney Springs for dinners or, you know, just to shop and stuff like that for the fun, I would go French Quarter just because you have that. So think about like the goal of what you're going to do. If you're just going to stay at the resort, definitely Coronado, I would say. Sean's got a question here in the live chat. How do we pay or process tips for table service restaurants when we're using the Disney dining plan? Ricky, and I think Erica mentioned this earlier or later in the live chat, but how do you take care of tips when you're on the Disney dining plan?
So you obviously do it at the end of the meal, and you can do it with cash or, I mean, credit card. Yeah.
And what happens is they'll just bring you a receipt at the end of the meal. You'll use your Disney dining plan. It'll give you like usually it's suggested like 18 or 20%. You sign it, and that's the only thing it's charged to
you. Or room charge.
Room charge. Yep. Let's see here. Len's got a question in the live chat. For Disney tours like Keys to the Kingdom, are tour guides allowed to accept tips? Pam, how's that work?
VIP tour guide?
No, like Keys to the Kingdom, kind of just general public tours.
Yeah, they typically are allowed to accept tips. I mean, we've tipped all of our tour guides.
Like the ones for like the Keys to the Kingdom tour?
Yeah.
Okay.
We have. I don't know if
everyone. You're a high roller. I didn't tip.
I didn't either.
We overtip.
I didn't know that they could accept tips. That's kind of why I was surprised to hear that they
did. That's funny. I think that they have. I think some, So some tour guides, depending on the different tours, have to refuse three times, I believe, and then they can accept it. So we are over tippers, though, I will say. So maybe I'm not the perfect person to ask in this space. But we did.
I mean, if you feel like you got great service, it doesn't hurt to offer it up. And if they say they can't take it, they can't take it. But I mean, at least you, that kind of clears your conscience and it gives them an opportunity to take the tip if they can't. I guess you got to ask three times. They're like, okay, you want this tip for real? Okay, I'm going to ask a third time. Do you want this tip? Because it's going to go in my pocket and I'm going to go buy a t-shirt with it or something.
Yeah, I'm going to go buy Halloween candy.
<That's> exactly. Jeff's got a question in the live chat. Going down for two nights in a few weeks. We'll be back in April. But if you could do Batu at Night or Epcot Forever on a Saturday night during Food and Wine, which one? Leaning towards Galaxy's Edge because due to the more adult crowds at Food and Wine with Riley, and she's Riley is 12. Thoughts? Staying at the boardwalk so both would be doable. So at night in a few weeks, so we're talking in November, Food and Wine on a Saturday night with a kid. I would go Batu just because it's going to be more tame crowd. Not that Epcot's a free for all, but I mean, if as Food and Wine gets a little rowdy, that's going to be your rowdiest time period, right? Mm-hmm. I would say.
Yeah,
I think so. I mean, I think the number of reports of seeing people really, really, you know, who have drank a lot are overestimated, I will say, as compared to how often it actually happens. But of course, then once somebody writes a blog about it, then it gets picked up by something and you think that it's all over. I've really, in all the times that I've been at Food and Wine, and what's funny is I was looking back through trip archives that we had, like paper archives of stuff I've kept. Mm-hmm. We've been going to Food and Wine a really long time. And the incidents that I've seen someone misbehaving has been so few. So anyways, just take that with a grain of salt. But
I agree with Pam. I think the incidents that I've seen are not that often. So I mean, if you guys want to do Food and Wine, then you know, go do Food and Wine. But I know how much you guys love Batu.
Yeah.
I mean, Jeff and Carly and Riley and I all, I mean, hung out in Batu. So like I know how much they love it.
Especially if you haven't seen, have you not seen it? If they haven't seen it at night.
Oh no, they've seen
at
it.
Night.
They're how I, okay. Oh, I don't know if they saw it at night. Yeah.
I was wondering. If you haven't seen it at night, it's worth seeing for sure. I know that they've seen it, but the at night thing, I think it's the prettiest time for Batu is at night. I really do. So.
Mm-hmm. Alrighty. Yeah. All right. Next question is from Darlene. She's in Australia. Hey, team, I'm headed to the world to stay at Port Orleans Riverside from Australia with my three teenagers in early December. Can you imagine traveling across the world, like halfway around the globe with three teenagers? God, holy cow. Have fun. As we have a week off property before our stay, we'll probably use Lyft or Uber to get to the resort. Checkout day, I have a 6 a.m. flight back to Los Angeles and need to leave Disney extremely early. My first question is, can we still book the Tragical Express even though it's only a one-way trip for us? Okay, so I'll stop there. So yes, if you have an on-site reservation, now if you're staying that one night, you can just do a one night on-site and you can use Magical Express to get back to the airport. No problem. One way happens all the time for folks. And secondly, would you recommend using a ride share instead due to the crazy early required departure time from the resort? I'm thinking the bus would have to leave there around 3 o'clock a.m. The only sweetener to leaving is that we would then be heading to Disneyland for a few days. Thank you for all the help you've given me planning our first Walt Disney World trip. I've been subscribing for about a year and have learned so much. In addition, I decided to get healthier and lose some weight before our trip, and your podcast has been my walking companion that has helped me achieve my 5-kilogram goal. I love listening and dreaming about our now almost reality trip. And that is from Darlene Clues, and she's down in Brisbane, Australia. So how cool is that? She listens around the world, and she's taking us for all those walks. And congratulations
That's
on that.
Crazy.
That's
awesome.
Yes.
That is great. Awesome. So you know what? I've done both. I mean, the thing is, Magical Express is easy. Like, you know, they just tell you where to be and you get on the bus. And I always take a nap on the bus. As soon as I get on the bus nowadays, I sleep until we get to the airport. Like that's like my nap time. Cause it's been a crazy trip. I'm exhausted. I get a little nap before I got to get off and get ready to get on my plane. So that's kind of something, but I mean, if you really want to cut your time and maybe sleep an extra hour, you could probably get a ride share. But again, the ride shares at around 4 o'clock in the morning, maybe a little tougher to get than later in the day. So something to think about.
I agree with that. There's not, they aren't around nearly as much. So, and the whole thing about that sort of freaks me out just a little bit, like being able to get someone like if it's at a really odd time. So.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, the thing is like, you're safe with Disney, with Magical Express. I mean, they will be around. But
agreed,
you're locked in.
And they're only picking you up 3 hours before your flight now. And that seems crazy early. But I will also say that I've seen Orlando be crazy busy, too. So I don't know. And plus, I'm just one of those people who would rather be early than cutting it close. It drives me crazy to cut things close.
For real. But.
Ricky's I was going to say, though, if they did rideshare and for some reason they could not get, a vehicle, there are cabs that they can have.
That's true.
So mm-hmm. that's an option as well. So you don't have to do the rideshare option. It would just be the cheaper option. But if you can't get one, at least the cab option is still there for you.
All right. Matt's got a question in the live chat. Heading to Disney this weekend and not participating in Run Disney. What are the best ways to avoid all the race activities? I figured we would go to Hollywood Studios on Sunday and avoid Magic Kingdom since people like to take pictures with their medals there. So you're going to want to avoid on Sunday. You're going to try to avoid Epcot, at least until like the afternoon, because that's where everything is in the parking lot, start and finish. I don't think there's a problem with people taking pictures. Yeah, I would say, probably people do go to the Magic Kingdom, get the picture in front of the castle with their medals.
Are you running through the castle? Are you running through? You don't go to Magic Kingdom, though, on Wine and Dine.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, do no. You? Yeah, do you? I think. I can't remember the last time they changed the course because I'm not running it this year.
I know they changed the course. So I don't, I mean, I know when I have experienced it, you didn't run to the Magic Kingdom. So I would think that Epcot would be the park to avoid.
But what he's saying, though, is he's trying to avoid like later in the day, like where people are going to go. The runners will probably go to the Magic Kingdom to get their pictures in front of the castle.
But I would think they would want to go to Epcot to get pictures taken because they ran through Epcot. That's what I'm saying. Like, I think most people go to the Magic Kingdom when they run through the Magic Kingdom.
Yeah, I think everybody wants their picture in front of the castle, even if you don't run through it. It's just kind of the icon for Disney.
I would avoid both parks. Yeah.
He's going to the studios. You got it.
Animal Kingdom or Hollywood Studios. So
Yeah. That's what I do. I go to the Hollywood Studios or Animal Kingdom on Sunday, and then you're fine otherwise. So everybody's doing Wine and Dine. I was going to say at the end of the show, but have a good run. It's going to be fun, and hopefully the weather holds out. I haven't looked at the forecast. Because this weekend is like, Wine and Dine's always that weekend that's had the worst luck with weather. So yes, let's hope it's good this year. Because it was a record high is the day we're recording on Monday. I think it was 92 in Orlando today.
Is that what it's supposed to be like?
I haven't heard, but I know today was a record high for Orlando. So I'm hoping it cools off. I know. That's not good. All right. Abby's got a question. Hey, Mike, Pam, and Ricky. We're so excited to be heading down to the world in early February. Going with me will be my husband and my almost three-year-old son. You know what? That's always awesome to have a kid that's an almost three-year-old. For lots of reasons. Disney fans know what that is. Yes, it is. Almost three-year-old. That's perfect. And her parents are going as well. We have a 10-night stay, but bought 6-day Park Hopper Plus tickets through Undercover Tourist. One day of our trip, my husband, mom, and I plan to go to Universal to see the Wizarding World of Harry Potter while my dad stays with my son back at the beach club. Dad wins. No, just kidding. To me, he does. Because I'd be at Storm Along Bay all day. If the two of them decide they want to go into the parks, should they be able to add one day on to just his ticket? Thank you for all the great info you provide each and every podcast. Abby's in Lewisburg, Pennsylvania, 1,050 miles from the Magic. So, Ricky, can you add? Because the trick is they got him an undercover tourist. I think you can still add the day, but you're going to have to pay, like, they're going to know what you paid for that original ticket.
Yes, that would be the case. Yeah, you'd have to pay the difference and then, you know, whatever it would be for to add that extra ticket to it. Mm-hmm. You can only do it, though, before, like, the ticket expires. So, like, before you fully use it. So make sure, like, you're not adding that extra day on, like, a day that you had finished your ticket. You know what I'm saying? Like, you finished your ticket the day before or something like that. Like, I don't know when in the plan they were planning on adding that day, whether they were going to go to the parks the following day or whether they were done with the parks. So just know that. Am I making sense?
Yeah, just add it before the last day. Even though
What I'm trying to say, yes.
Yes, and you can. All right, Bob's got a question. Our flights were changed, and we're now planning to land before 11:30. We weren't planning a park day, but should we add the park day now? If so, we have to get our TA to make one more change. All right. So if you want, so the bottom line is, okay, so with adding days, and it's kind of, we have back-to-back questions, this one's from the live chat, is that when you add the days during your trip, it's going to cost you the same whether you add it there or up front. There's like no difference in the price. So, and the thing is, like with Bob's situation, I think that a lot of people get locked into, oh, we're going to be able to go into the park the first day now. We weren't expecting that. Disney doesn't know like which day was going to be which on your ticket. So just, you know, use your days till they're exhausted or till they time out, you know, 2 days after the length of your ticket. So if you got a 7-day ticket, you can use them for 9 days and so forth. You know, my advice, cause I'm pretty practical. I just like, if you're not going to use it, you're not sure, I would just add it during the trip when you're more solid on, you know, if we're going to take a resort day or whatever. But if you want to make sure it's there, don't have to mess with it, go to guest services, just add it before you go.
If you want to make fast pass, then that's, you have
fast passes. Yeah, that's true. With fast passes.
You've got to do it there. Like, I thought this was the undercover tourist ticket. You can't, at that point, you're out of luck. But if you're booked with a real travel agent, then you absolutely will be able to change the ticket included with your package. Okay. Because, and I would do it just for fast pass. And for me, I just want the beauty of FastPass. Even if I only make FastPass the morning I'm going in, I found so many things like that day. So even if I'm only making FastPass like 15 minutes before I'm stepping through the gate,
that's true,
I'm making them and I'm ahead of those people who haven't done it at all. And there's a percentage of people who just don't, which is, I don't get it, but whatever.
and he does have a real travel agent. Me. So let's.
Oh, yeah. Well, so, and the other thing is, too, you don't want to wait in line either. So do it before. Yeah. Well, then, if he has a real travel agent, then
I had my little hat on earlier, my little graduation hat. Just Betsy's got a question in the live chat. I have a last minute question for a last minute trip. Your question is almost last on the show. Is the dessert party needed for the last Halloween party this Friday? So that'd be November 1st. It's just my 7-year-old daughter and I, and I'm not sure if I want to use the party time waiting for the fireworks show if we're also going to wait to see the parade. I'll take all the pointers I can get. Also wondering if you know when the Magic Kingdom will transition to at least some Christmas decorations. Thanks as always. Love the show. All right, Pam, give her your thoughts on the dessert party within the Halloween party on November 1st as well. Oh. This is after Halloween.
So I'm actually thinking, I'm like, this dilemma has come up in my household because we will be there during that time and we have to decide what we want to do. I think what we're opting to do is to do that other, the in and out of Tony's thing, to have that available to us because we want to be able to do that. I'm not sure yet. We haven't finished the debate. The issue is that, you know, I know that people feel frustrated with the fact that they feel like they're buying something on top of something that they already bought. But for me and for you, time is money in this space. And if it's going to save it, I want to suck up every little moment of one of the parties. There's just so many cool things going on there. So one of the things you could do to sort of minimize that is to have the same spot that you're going to wait for the parade and the fireworks. And that's possible, although it is going to be near Main Street or the Hub, and those are prime spots and they're going to be taken fairly early. It will reduce your time for that. The beauty of the dessert party is, of course, that you can have the desserts and then walk right into a viewing location for the fireworks if you choose to, you know, do that, or you have the other option where you're at Tomorrowland Terrace. So I get where you're going here with this. You want to maximize your time. I don't know that there's a right or wrong answer to this. I really, truly don't. I think there are bonuses on both. And either way, you might end up spending a little more than you thought you were originally going to spend for the party, but it could be worth it for you.
That's it. I think you're going to be paying a little bit extra, but I don't, you know, everybody that does it kind of walks away. I should say everybody that I've talked to walks away saying, you know, I think it was worth it because we had a more kind of VIP experience. We didn't have to wait. We didn't waste time. When we did the dessert party, for example, Pam, back last year, was that, you know, we watched the fireworks and we literally laid on the ground and watched them. I mean, like, you had space. Yeah. That's the first time I've ever had space at the Magic Kingdom to watch fireworks. I mean, we were just kind of sprawled out like we were at the park here locally. you know, watching the fireworks with, and we had great desserts. So, I mean, you're going to have lots of sweets at the party either way, but I think what you're paying for is the exclusive access, the ease of seeing the fireworks. So I would say, if you can swing, yeah.
And I just want to say that the thing at Tony's is called Tony's Most Merriest Town Square Party.
Terrible names. Terrible.
They like try to make them almost a tongue twister. Like there's some alliteration. It's not a whole alliteration.
No.
But it's like it's thrown in there. Tony's Most Merriest. Okay.
Right.
Tony's Most Merriest.
And you know what? Yeah. They're great.
Really? Wrong Tony.
What?
All well, right.
Charcuterie, my friend.
Yeah.
We had to say charcuterie. Hadn't said it all month. There we go. Check.
I like it.
It's a fun word.
Abby from Chicago's got the next question. Hey, BOGP crew. My parents decided to surprise me with and book a trip to Disney from December 29th through January 5th and stay at Art of Animation for my 26th birthday. This is a wonderful gift, and I'm very surprised. However, they have placed me in charge of the itinerary. My dad is not a big fan of crowds. We only intend to buy 3 days worth of tickets. I have a few questions. First, what other things can we do around the resorts during the other days? Second, what would be the best day to go to the Magic Kingdom? I'm thinking maybe January 1st, since everyone will have been there yesterday. Also, any other advice on what to do for the other days or places to eat for New Year's Eve dinner would be awesome. Thank you guys for all you do. Abby in Chicago. All right, first of all, I'm just going to throw a couple things out there. One thing you can do during this trip, because it is going to be crazy. I mean, this is the busiest week of the year, but it's also very doable and a ton of fun. I love this week. I mean, because it's just, it's crazy, but it's crazy fun with Disney fans, and it's Christmas, it's New Year's. It's like it's so awesome. One thing I think your dad would really like, if he doesn't like crowds, just for the one day, go over to Fort Wilderness and go through the campground and see all the decorations. I love that. It's like the Griswolds. It's so fun. But it's Disney. So that's one thing I would say you could do any of the days. I think that'd get your dad out of the madness. So Pam, something else. What else?
I think that anytime you have the opportunity to tour some of the resorts. Now, Mike mentioned Fort Wilderness, but there's just a ton of them that do a good job decorating for all the holidays. And I like just checking out the resorts. I want to see where I might want to stay next. I want to look at the amenities, maybe have a meal there because it gives me a different choice. And the ones that are easiest to get to are the ones that are on the monorail line. That's the Polynesian, the Grand Floridian, and the Contemporary, as well as Wilderness Lodge, since it's just a boat ride away from the Magic Kingdom. And of course, the ones that you can walk right outside the International Gateway entrance of Epcot and check out. And that's the yacht and the beach and the boardwalk. And now, of course, we have the Skyliner, which makes it easier to get to a few others, including Caribbean Beach and Pop Century and Art of Animation. So I would check out any of those resorts as well.
So as far as the time to go to the Magic Kingdom, between December 29th and January 5th, Ricky. Now, here's the trick, is if you want to, I know your dad's not a big crowd of, a fan of crowds, and I definitely wouldn't do this with your dad if he doesn't like crowds. But remember that Epcot and the Magic Kingdom do New Year's Eve on both the 30th and the 31st. You get the opportunity to do both if you choose. That's what we've always done in the past. Like Magic Kingdom on 30th, Epcot on New Year's Eve. That's a great plan. But you got to like your fellow citizens of the planet Earth if you want to do that. I mean, I'm just saying it's busy, but it's awesome.
You got to love them.
You got to just accept that you're just a sea of humanity. You're just a little speck of humanity there. So, Ricky, what would you say, though, if they want to go to the Magic Kingdom? Maybe the 29th on arrival day to kick off the trip, or maybe wait till maybe the 3rd or 4th? I don't think January 1st is the answer.
You don't?
I don't, because I think a lot of people like to go there to kind of kick off the new year.
Yeah.
That's kind of my thing. I'm stupid like that. Like, I'm like, how's the Magic Kingdom to start the year? That's like, who cares? But I do that kind of stuff.
Right, exactly. No, I was thinking about that too. I mean, unless they have a park hopper, and then I would like get, and they could get up early, and then I would hit the Magic Kingdom first thing, because nobody else will be at the Magic Kingdom first thing.
That's true.
Right,
that's a good
after
point.
New Year's Eve. So, yeah, I would say maybe the 2nd or the 3rd for the Magic Kingdom. I think that's probably a little bit better of an idea. Yeah, I think that's probably a better idea, but unless you can have a park hopper. So.
All righty, Lawrence has a question here in the live chat. Our kids are participating in the Kids Dashes this weekend for their first time. Any tips to make the most of the event? How early should we get there to get a good view of the finish line? All right, so the kids' races, I believe, still take place over at ESPN Wide World of Sports. Paige used to do these, or Paige, Mallory used to do these back in the day. They are really well done. They're kind of a hidden gem for Run Disney. The little kids, they get to, I mean, they're treated like Olympic athletes. Like, they make a big deal out of them. They run around the real track, the quarter mile track there at the complex. You can get up in the stands with the little ones. You can actually be on the track with them to run if they're doing like a 100-meter dash, or, you know, there's different distances as the kids get a little bit older. They get spread out to like even a lap, or I think even maybe even a mile. But the one thing that I really enjoyed about the kids' races is that they have a lot of activities going on around that area for the families and the kids. Like, I remember that we have this great caricature of Mallory, and Paige got one done while she was there, totally free. They were just doing them there for the families waiting around for the races. They have little snacks, and, you know, because the adult runners get their little snack boxes. Well, the kids got those too, kind of modified. They had music and dancing as they do at the big kid races as you're getting ready to go to the corrals. So it's kind of a party atmosphere. The characters are there to get pictures, some characters, and the race announcers will be dressed up and doing stuff with the crowd. So I would say get there maybe an hour before your race, maybe an hour and a half, and just have a good time. They're really kind of a hidden secret, and hope your kids really, really enjoy it. The parents really love it. I mean, when you get to see your kid get that little medal and they're smiling and they're like the big kids, it's a really cool thing. So I like it. All right, next, last question of the day is from Rachel, and it's Toledo/Tepanito versus GECO. Hi, Mike, Pam, and Ricky. I recently discovered, thanks to Mike, that we have an extra table service credit to use on our upcoming trip. Okay, let me clarify that. I didn't give them an extra table service credit. I just let them know how the table service credits work. It's according to night of your trip, not days. So don't, all my guests, now, I love y'all, but don't come to me asking for extra credits, because I can't just like spit them out like I'm a quarter machine at the arcade. So Rachel's trying to get me in trouble here.
Make it rain.
Exactly.
Wouldn't that be awesome if you could just be like, you get table service credits.
You get a table service. You get a table service. You get a table service.
I wish. That'd be my dream for 2020. I'd just shower everybody with table service credits. But anyway, she says, right now I have Toledo scheduled for the night we get in Tepanito on another night. I'm wondering if I should cancel both of these and eat at GECO or Yachtsman the night we get in instead. Thoughts? We've never been to any of these restaurants before. It's just my boyfriend and I will be celebrating my birthday on the trip. We do have reservations for lunch at Sanaa the day after we get in, so I wasn't sure if adding GECO might be overkill at Animal Kingdom Lodge. Thanks for the help. You guys are the best. Rachel's in Charlottesville, Virginia, 830 miles from Disney. So basically, it's one of those questions. They see, this is like a philosophical Disney dining question. I would go with the two meals. I would do Toledo and Tepanito, because you're getting two experiences, two meals over two nights. But Pam, what would you say? So I'm saying take the two and don't worry about GECO or Yachtsman. I'm going for more quantity over perceived quality. What do you say?
There are a lot of good one table service credit meals. I mean, you can't underestimate that. There really, truly are. And I think you just have to find them. There's, you know, I think that Kona is always a stand up choice in terms of table service. Now, I know that they have, removed some of your favorites, Mike. there are still good choices there. Think about some of the, we've talked about them that include like seating for a show. I think that's a bargain in terms of that, especially when you look at like Fantasmic seating or things like that. I just feel like that's a very good use of table service credits. So don't count those out as not having great food, because I think you can really have good food and still have table service one that use only one table service credit.
But would you go specifically, like she's asking, would you go with GECO or Yachtsman as a signature meal, or would you do Toledo and Tepanito? Would you take the two meals or go GECO? Is GECO or Yachtsman better than, would you trade that for two other meals?
Well, didn't you notice I was kind of trying to dance around that?
I know you were, but I'm going to nail you to this one. I know everybody's like, answer the question, Pam. I'm the judge here. I mean, there's no wrong answer.
for me, it would depend on how many nights I'm there, really and truly. If it were a shorter trip, I would go with Tepanito and the other choice. Both of those. Toledo. Right. If it were a longer trip, I would go with the Signature. And the reason is that the longer we're there, the more tired I am of certain meals.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, whatever. So that's my answer. How about that?
That works. My Pam says she gets fooded out towards the end of the trip, you know, because we just don't usually eat that many table service meals, you know, all the time. So
nobody does.
Yeah. I mean, it gets heavy. So, Ricky, what would you do if you had the choice, the two one-credit meals or the one Signature experience?
I lean towards the two, but she did mention it was her birthday trip.
It is her birthday.
So I would, if it's your birthday, I would maybe splurge a little and I would go to Yachtsman, but I love Yachtsman. So, I think that's what
it's
I would do.
Your birthday.
Exactly. I think I might do the splurge if it's your birthday. So.
All right. Well, there we go. So there we go. Signature Meals went out on that one 2-1. So have a great meal. And you know what? I think going to Sanaa and Jiko, two totally separate experiences, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Two different parts of the, you know, one's in the villas, one's in the lodge. So you're fine. All right. That's going to do it for today's questions. Don't forget to send those in mike@brguestpodcast.com. We love getting those in email and also joining us here in the live Facebook chat as well. Don't forget today's show brought to you by our friends over at virtualmickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Theme Park News, Disney Edition. Ricky, what are we reading about on the app this week?
So if you are a fan of Frozen and are very excited about Frozen 2, you can head to the Walt Disney World Resort at select locations and pick up a great Frozen 2 themed treat. So they have these treats at the Magic Kingdom. They have them at the Kringla Bakery at Epcot. They have them at Typhoon Lagoon, of all places. They must be trying to get people to go over to Typhoon Lagoon this winter. They have them at Disney Springs, like the Ganachery and Amaranth Patisserie. And then they have lots and lots of different choices at the various resorts at Walt Disney World. You can go to the Mouse for Less to find out where you can grab all the great treats. But if, like I said, if you're looking forward to Frozen, you definitely want to make sure you grab something, right? Yeah.
That's it. Anyway. All right. So if you want to know about all the Frozen stuff and everything else happening at Walt Disney World and the Disney company as a whole, check out Theme Park News Disney Edition. It's a free app for your iOS device. Check it out today over at virtualmickey.com. Don't forget to also use our Amazon affiliate link, brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. You get all your Prime benefits, cost you nothing extra, and it really does help support the show, especially with the holiday season coming up. So again, brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. Give us a follow on social media. We're on Instagram and Twitter @BeOurGuestPod and @BeOurGuestMike. And drop by the Facebook page at facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. All right, we're going to be back again on Friday talking about technology and all the news that's been happening in the technological sphere. I can't say it today. Down at Walt Disney World, so we'll have some fun with a little beta mouse on Be Our Guest. Coming your way on Friday. So until then, for Pam and Ricky, I'm Mike, wishing you a great Wednesday. Time to head back to work, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at brguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.